This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Craig Hoffman.
I never knew a song with no lyrics could be, you know, such a big hit.
It's so funny because, like, classical music, right? No lyrics, and it's withstood the test of time in its own way for hundreds and hundreds of years.
The Hoffman Show.
What could Mozart do with a synthesizer, you know? These are the questions I think about at night.
It's a great question.
On the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980 as well. Coming up at 6:30, we can take a few more of your calls, get your picks in for the game, and we'll pick it as well. But right now, we are picking who we think will be the most impactful on Sunday. It is time for our pick six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level and build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right. Of course, Matt Essig in today for Anthony. Ant will be back on Monday. Matt, you got first pick today. I'm going to let you have the honors. We are looking for six players. You will pick three. I will pick three in terms of who we think will have the biggest impact on the game on Sunday, who we're most looking forward to watch. You have number one, sir.
All right, so for number one, I'm going to go with... Just kidding. We're going to go with
Jeremy.
Oh,
yeah, that is worth pointing out. I feel like we haven't said that often enough this year.
Can't go Jaden Daniels
is off the board. So in case you're ever listening to this segment, you're screaming at your radio going, like, guys, how could Jaden Daniels not be number one?
Just pick Jaden!
It's because we So Jaden is off the board. We are allowing opposing players this year, but Jaden, the opposing quarterback, is also off the board. So no Jaden, no Deshaun Watson in this case. Them's the rules. Okay, now proceed with picking number one.
So for real, I'm going to go with Jeremy McNichols. I think that with having Brian Robinson out, with having Austin Eckler,
we don't know that Brian Robinson.
Well, Bryanson Robinson having the injury, we're not sure about his if he's going to be in or out. With having Austin Eckler having his injury, I think that this team is so dependent on its run game. And having watched what Jeremy did last week with his run blocks, with his touchdown runs, I think that he is going to take a leading role in this upcoming game as potentially the lead back. So I'm going to say Jeremy McNichols is number one for me for us winning the game.
All right. That's definitely not one I saw coming. Brian Robinson, the injury report just dropped. Brian Robinson is officially listed as questionable. F.A. Obada and Jordan McGee are listed as doubtful. So those are two guys they were considering bringing off IR. It looks like next week for them. Mariota was a full participant all week with a pec injury that he's had. He could come off IR this weekend, so that is worth mentioning. But Brian Robinson, questionable. Tyler Owens also is listed as questionable, you know, special teams-wise. Alec Reddy, Percy Butler also listed as questionable, but they look like they're going to play. Owens was a DNP today. That feels like he ain't playing. So you could get your Derek Forest debut. By the way, on the other side of things, on the Browns side, you have Nick Chubb out, Jordan Hicks, their linebacker, out, Nyheim Hines, running back, out, James Hudson, one of their tackles, is out, and then Alex Wright is out as well. Jack Conklin, their starting tackle, is questionable. David Njoku is questionable. Jedrick Willis, one of their other tackles, because remember, all four of their tackles were at one point this week on the injury report. He is questionable. DeJuan Jones is good to go. There's your fourth one. Jerry Jeudy, good to go. And Myles Garrett, he was on the injury report earlier this week. Where is he listed? He is, or they take him off the injury report. He is not listed, so I guess he is good to go. Oh, there he is. Nope. DMP limited full. He's good. So, with McNichols, look, I think McNichols should have a role moving forward. He proved that he can be useful as a runner. I think he proved he can be useful as a pass catcher, and he can be hella useful as a blocker. And if you just don't want Austin Eckler to take as many of those hits as a pass blocker, and you want the same production, and maybe even arguably better, because Eckler missed a cut. Like, when Eckler knows where he's going and he gets the assignment right, he's solid as could be. He has missed one or two this year where you're like, I think you should belong over there, pal, which happens. These blitzes are harder than ever to figure out who's coming and where you need to be. And you're watching one safety and then the other one comes flying down in the box and blitzes last second. But ultimately, look, I mean, Nichols is not who I would pick first. There's a chance that he doesn't really have much of a role if Robinson's okay. But if either of those guys are not at 100%, then yeah, I do think Nichols could have a big role. My number one guy is Frankie Luvu. And I believe he is number one for me two straight weeks, which on some level tracks because he is the best player theoretically on that defense, unless Allen and Payne return to form. But Luvu is the guy they signed in the offseason. He was the big acquisition. Like, he's the guy that they want to be a stud. And I think this week, you know, last week it was about his ability as a pass rusher and to contain Kyler and, you know, having some extra speed on the field. This week, it's very simple. He hits the mess out of people. And I think that if Deshaun Watson decides to scramble and Frankie Luvu chases him down, Frankie Luvu can force a fumble just by hitting Deshaun Watson into next week. And I mentioned it a couple times. Watson carries the ball really loose. And that, you know, Luvu had a punch out last week. I think he doesn't even have to punch it out. Just hit him as hard as you can and see what happens. And there's a good chance that ball is going to fly free with the way that Luvu has caught a couple of guys. I mean, think of what he did to Malik Nabers a couple weeks ago against the Giants, where, you know, they're 11 yards downfield and he just absolutely lambastes him. So I think Luvu is a pass rusher, obviously continues to be really effective or really important, making sure that his run fits are good. All the basic linebacker stuff that you would expect. Obviously, if David Njoku plays, he probably finds himself on coverage against Njoku a couple of times. But I think the biggest thing is, can he be a guy who makes plays and creates turnovers? Because he hits the hell out of people. And Deshaun Watson, I mean this, look, football's a violent game, and I don't wish injuries on people. If there's someone that I would enjoy perhaps getting hit really hard in the NFL based off of their who they've been as off the field, it's Deshaun Watson. But I mean this purely as a football analysis piece. Deshaun Watson is prime for hitting because he, like, you know, you're supposed to carry the ball high and tight. He carries the ball down and loose, where it's just like tucked on his wrist, and he'll try to like juke people in the open field. And if he's trying to juke a safety and Frankie Luvu comes and blindsides him, like, that ball's coming out. So there's just too many times on tape where I saw that, and I think Luvu can absolutely be an impact player there. So I'm going to go Luvu at number two. Who you got for number three, Maddie?
All right. At number three, I'm going to go Dorrance Armstrong. He's had a fantastic first four games. Sack leader currently for the Commanders. I feel like he has kind of become the top pressure on this team. And for much like what you said for Frankie Luvu, I mean, we're going up against a quarterback who is holding onto the ball too low, not having full protection. This is a chance for, I mean, same with Deron Payne, same with John Allen.
This whole, you could say any D lineman, and I'd be like, yes, correct.
Every single one of these guys can have their entire meal this weekend. So yeah. I would say that all of them. But for me, I'm going to go Dorrance.
I think Armstrong has been a little up and down until last week. I thought last week was like, hello, Dorrance Armstrong, welcome to the party. And Kelvin Beachum at right tackle was not up for that task, and Dorrance Armstrong is finding his way. And I think the other thing, Cleveland has really struggled with some of the stunts, twists, games, things up front. And what we mean by that is, like, let's say it's a TE, so a tackle and an end. So the tackle could pick, or you might have a TE or an ET, but this one I'm going to describe. The tackle comes in, and instead of trying to rush the passer, he just runs into the defensive tackle, runs into the offensive tackle. The guard hopefully go chases him, and then he just knocks the offensive tackle out of the way, and a guy like Dorrance Armstrong comes off the edge and loops around inside. Could go the other way too, coming down, let the defensive tackle loop outside. But it's a way to stay in your rush lanes, but switch lanes, and in a way that hopefully creates a free rusher. And some of these twists and stunts and games and things that they're playing up front are starting to look a lot crisper because these guys are starting to play off of each other. And so I think part of that leads to Armstrong's success. He's good with that kind of stuff. He's got great mobility, and he's just, you know, winning one-on-one pass rush situations, and he's definitely going to have some of those this weekend. I think that's a great pick. All right. When we get back, the back half of our pick six, I have one wide receiver that I'm going to get to next that I think is the biggest guy to step up and replace Noah Brown. But first, let's get to an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Who do you have in the game on Sunday? We will take your calls on a Finish Friday coming up at 6:30. But right now it is time for us to continue our pick six. The first three players off the board already. Again, Jaden Daniels is not available for selection. Maddie took Jeremy McNichols first. Okay. I took Frankie Louvu and then Dorrance Armstrong third. Fourth for me today, second for me, fourth overall, is Deami Brown. Noah Brown is out, and it's not just a Brown-for-Brown replacement, although that makes it nice and easy to write your notes down. Good, completion to Brown. But Deami is the guy that I think in this receiving core is probably the best blocker of the bunch, and that has been a huge, huge thing for Noah Brown. I think he is also a guy that has been very, very good in the screen game, which I think is going to be a big part of the game plan this weekend. I think if you can throw screens to the side opposite of Myles Garrett, that's probably a good plan. Garrett is so fast and so mobile that throwing screens to his side, one, I think you risk getting the ball batted up in the air and picked because he's that explosive. And two, I don't want him running out there and tackling guys because he blocking him is a nightmare. So just throw screens away from Myles Garrett. Go to the line of scrimmage, and if Myles Garrett's on the left and you've called the screen to the left, motion a guy over and call a screen to the right. But also the way they formation a lot of this stuff, they'll have screens on both sides as is. So Deami has been a good screen runner this year. He's a good screen blocker. And the other reason I think the screen game could be a big part this weekend is I think some of the RPO in the zone read game could be out because in a zone read specifically, RPO is different. You don't necessarily have to have a quarterback run element. But on a zone read where it's like, okay, are we going to pass? Are we going to hand the ball off or are we going to have the quarterback keep it? What you do is you don't block one of the defensive ends. The idea of not blocking Myles Garrett is a nightmare. I should just say Myles Garrett. I should have done that and then saved Deami Brown. But the point is, if you're not going to have that at your disposal, because the idea of not blocking Myles Garrett is, on its face, a very smart thing to do, or not is a very smart thing to avoid, not blocking Myles Garrett, then how are you going to create the easy opportunities within your offense? And the wide receiver screen game becomes a big part of that. And so I know everyone's like, oh, well, they finally got off the screens and you saw what they did last week. Of course, they need to continue to throw a quick game, get down the field, drop back situations. They've done a great job with play action and boot and stuff like that. So there's a lot of different stuff that they will do, but I think you need to, against this Cleveland defense, have easy opportunities. And I think whether it's running the football or in the screen game, Deami Brown plays a huge part, especially with Noah Brown out. And thus, I will say Deami Brown is my number four in our pick six at six. All right, number five, your last selection, Matty Ice.
All right, final selection for me is Scary Terry. McLaurin. You look at this Commanders offense, especially the first 2 weeks where we were seeing there was some issues with communication between Jaden Daniels and Terry McLaurin. We went 20-37 against the Buccaneers, and we went 18-21 against the Giants. As soon as we started seeing the deep ball open, especially to Terry in game three, all of a sudden, 38 points, 42 points. I think one of the big defining factors with this offense is being able to now get those chunk plays that we've been talking about and screaming and wanting them to actually get for the past couple of years with Terry. Now that capability is on the field. And I think that that's going to be something, regardless of the defense, regardless of the opponent, that's always going to have to be a game plan aspect with the Commanders. So I'm going to say, watch Terry McLaurin. This is going to be a much more difficult defense. So there might not be as many, but there's still going to be a bunch of deep shots that they're going to try and get to get some quick points.
Yeah, I think that you watch like some of the big plays. You know, it's one of the things I always try to watch before we do the Take Command show on Thursdays. And that's kind of the big thing I do in terms of prep for the opponent and watching them. And one of the things that I can do now, thanks to NFL Pro, is sort based off big completions. So one of the things I always watch is like, and this gets harder, obviously, as the year goes on to watch all of them because there's more games, but 20 plus yard air yard completions. And some of the ones that have been gotten against Cleveland are very interesting when you think of them through the lens of Terry McLaurin. There's one against Dallas, or one by Dallas, I should say, against Cleveland, where it is quick three-step drop, CeeDee Lamb down the sideline. And it is just that simple. It's the same route, you know, it's the same idea, I should say, as what the third and seven, you know, Cincinnati game winner was. Set hut, bang, bang, ball out. No read, no nothing, just we got 3-by-1. We got one receiver. That receiver is Terry McLaurin, isolated in space, no safety help. Lay it out there. Do you win? And CeeDee Lamb obviously won on the route. Dak Prescott threw a great ball, and Jaden and Terry can do that. You also see one in the Jacksonville game where Brian Thomas, it was Brian Thomas Jr., the rookie. I think I actually said it was Malik Nabers earlier, but I meant to say this particular play was the other LSU rookie. And I'm sure when Jaden Daniels watched this on tape, his eyes lit up because this is his guy. But they get him lined up on Greg Newsome, the nickelback for the Browns. So can you get, basically, it's like, can you either get Terry in space and hopefully he can beat Denzel Ward, or can you get him off of Denzel Ward? Can you put him in three receiver sides away from where Ward lines up? Can you put him in the slot? Can you find ways to create those matchups? And I'll say the other thing is, for replacing Noah Brown, is Brown's been great on these in-breaking routes. He's been great over the middle of the field, and those routes are easier to see. And so I think that making sure that you get Terry on some of those, or maybe Brown's been on the backside of a three-man concept, just running an in-breaker, some of these dagger routes, things like that, I think Terry can take those shots. I would say Luke is the other guy that I think needs to step up in that way to replace the kinds of routes that Brown has been running. Obviously opposite of Terry, but maybe you put Deami where Terry was and put, you know, Terry where Noah was on some of those and create some opportunities that way. So Terry's always a great call. Last but not least, for the pick six. Yeah, I'm going to go with Benjamin St. Juice. And it feels like we've done a corner every week, and sometimes it feels like we've done multiples, but I think BSJ's got a very interesting and, if I'm being honest, a little bit scary matchup this week. I've always thought Amari Cooper was underrated. Cooper did not have a good game last week, which is worth mentioning. Cooper had a ball. He had two big drops, one of which I think bounced off his chest and got picked. But he is a just absolute technician as a route runner. He is so, so good at setting guys up and, you know, what's it called? Manipulating leverage. Like, his ability to get open is huge. And for an offense that has been lacking in playmaking otherwise, obviously we could see David Njoku back this week, their tight end, which would help them a lot. But That kind of player scares me more than a raw athletic type of guy against BSJ, because I look at, like, there's a play, the touchdown that Cooper scores against the Giants, and he just cooks Deontay Banks, and he just kind of jogs into this, like, there's a little bit of space, and then boom, boom, he's out into a slant, easy catch and throw, touchdown. That's the kind of stuff that I hope that Benjamin St. Juice is prepared for. I do wonder if they will travel BSJ. They did that last week, which I did not expect. So if they put him on, if they being the Commanders, put him, BSJ, on Amari Cooper, how does that matchup go? If they can shut him down, then I don't know where this Cleveland offense goes. They've struggled to do everything, and now they'd be down their number one option. So BSJ has a huge, huge impact on this game, one way or the other. Hopefully it's in the good way for Washington. Logan and I will react to it all in the immediate aftermath. Make sure you're subscribed on YouTube at the Team 980 for live coverage from Northwest Stadium on the Take Command Instant Reaction Show, or subscribe to the Take Command Podcast. You can get that. And, of course, we'll be right back here to break it all down on Monday with our first and 10 starting right at 4 o'clock, and we'll review these six choices on our pick six coming up on Monday at 6. When we get back, your calls. It's a Finish Friday. 301-230-0980. Who you got and why? Matt and I will make our picks as well.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Offense Show. Wrapping up here. Final half hour on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. It's a Finish Friday, so we need your picks and why, your prediction. Well, we don't need your picks. We need one pick from each of you. Washington or Cleveland? Who you got on Sunday? When we did this earlier, not a soul, Matty Ice, not a soul picked the Cleveland Browns, which I get. Like, it's funny because you balance that with the calls that we got earlier in the week where nobody wanted to get too confident. Nobody wanted to out, you know, oh my God, cautious optimism. And then here we are on Friday and everyone's like, we're going to score 30 points and we're going to win. And, I get it. I would just say I'm not quite as confident as I think a lot of fans that called in the 4 o'clock hour are. Maybe there's a little more conservativeness, a little bit more, fear, even if you want to use that word, here in the 6 o'clock hour. So we can get some calls in a second, but I will ask you first, who do you have?
So I do have Washington winning. I do not think that it is going to be a high score or as high scoring a game. Personally, I have it as 27-10.
That's pretty high scoring on the Washington
I'm given that.
I mean, I guess it's not 30 or 40,
no,
but
it's 3 points over the average. But I think that this is going to be a game that is on it. And this might just be me thinking ahead and being way too hopeful, being a Commanders fan. I feel like this is going to be a big turnover game. I have a feeling that our defense is actually going to come up with a couple real big turnovers down when they are in the red zone, and that's going to be the deciding factor. I think that Deshaun's going to have a fairly good day, but turnovers down in the red zone is going to be the death of the Browns.
Interesting and specific. Anthony has Washington, by the way, whatever that is worth, which I know it probably made a lot of people shiver in fear. But everybody, he's been better this year. He has been better. I have Washington as well. Which I almost feel bad about because I feel like I've picked against them. And then everyone's like, ah, and I'm like, hey, look, I get it. I emotionally, it's like, just pick against them. And if you're wrong, like one, it's an emotional hedge. Two, just stick with what's been working. But then I have to remember that, I don't have any impact on the game based off who I pick on the radio. So I'm just going to tell you what I think. I think the Commanders, like 24-21 kind of game, which by the way, the Vegas spread is 3.5. The total is 43.5. So that would give you a, Browns cover. Barely and a slight over, with, you know, 24-21 would be 45. So I'm telling you, you know, 43.5. So somewhere right around there. But that's kind of game, like Vegas is telling you that's about what it's going to be. And I think that is where it is. I think that there's opportunities for the Commanders to generate turnovers. I think there is a chance for the Commanders to generate a couple of big plays, but I do think like Trust Way is going to punt a lot more in this game than he has, which I realize isn't saying much because he's barely punted in 3 weeks, but including the first 2 weeks of those, zero punts. But I do think that like he's going to punt some in this game. And I do think that, you know, Cleveland can do enough offensively to get a couple of scores considering Washington's defense has been what it has been. I would expect them to get one explosive play. I would expect them to have a couple of drives, maybe another opening drive. Can, you know, obviously that's been bad for Washington the last couple of weeks, where they've just had the ball march down their throat on the opener. I'd assume that Joe Witt Jr. is like, we're not doing this crap this week. So let's see if they can actually do it. I do think there's a chance, Matt, that the game plays out the way you said, like a 27-10, like Cleveland's offense just goes nowhere because they're not that good. But, you know, they also showed some signs of some things last week. I do think they put a lot of pressure on you. It's just that they also put a lot of pressure on themselves. And depending on, you know, which side bursts, if you will, under that pressure will ultimately determine the outcome of the game. I think Washington will burst less. I think it will be close. But that's where I'm at.
Now, one thing I will say, which is I'm hoping and praying that this doesn't end up happening, but the Commanders as an organization have been teams that tend to fall apart against other teams that are struggling, not able to get their own stuff. It's a lot of play up well, play down bad.
Sure.
And I'm hopeful that we have new coaches, new players, new organization. I have to hope that the kind of history of this organization deciding to crap the bed against the worst teams is over. So I would say this to that.
One, I do think that like there's always a human nature because like, yes, have the Commanders done that a lot? Yeah, but so does every organization, and it's impacted more here because they've been favored so little in the last decade relative to good teams that when they are favored, it feels like a letdown.
And the NFL is hard.
And the NFL is hard, right. But I also think, like, they don't see themselves as favorites. There's no way. Everyone spent the whole entire offseason telling them that they suck. You think after a couple of games and a couple of nice ESPN segments, they're like, actually, everyone was wrong. No, they've been in the mindset that we're going to prove everybody wrong since day one. I don't think that changes because you win a bunch of games and now some of the same people are being like, wow, I never saw this coming. Washington's great. They're like, no, you said we sucked and we're going to prove you that this is not a fluke. And I think we're still in that. If they're still, you know, if they're 7-2 and we going into week 10, then like, yeah, we can, I think that's a different conversation. But I do think for now, like, they heard that they suck too much to, especially like that offensive line, to think that they're
they don't
have actually
a chip.
Accomplished anything.
There's no chip on the shoulder yet.
Yeah, well, I think the chip is still on the shoulder.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think you have to worry about them not.
Yeah, I took that
showing up.
It.
Yeah, I see what you did. I knew what you meant. Let's go to Big Tony. Big Tony, who you got on Sunday?
What's going on, Crazy Craig Hoffman, what's going on with you, baby?
Yeah, all right, we're not doing hey, dumb look, nicknames today, Tony. Just get to the prediction. Come on.
Hey, look here. me being an AFC North dude, Cleveland can't score, but I'm going to tell you right now, the defense ain't faking. I mean, Deshaun hit the dude wide open last week, and they had a little penalty. It's like it's probably like 87-something, you know, a bomb. They had a couple other drops. I mean, they can score a little bit, but I'm going to tell you right now, the defense ain't faking, and you got to remember one thing, Craig. Cincinnati, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland play against Lamar every, you know, two games a week. So that, all that little fancy, you know, little run game stuff, that ain't going to work against them. Now, it's the same thing about, like, Big John and Temple Press. If you ain't never seen it, you got problems. That's why Lamar is, like, 22-1 against the NFC. If you ain't never seen it, you have problems. But Cleveland, Cincinnati, Pittsburgh have seen it. So that's going to be a thing. Other than that, I think y'all might get it, man. Take it easy, baby.
All right, Tony. I mean, I think there is some truth to that, right? Like, if you've seen Lamar, then Jaden is less of a novelty. The problem is catching him. Like, you still got to catch him, and like from a discipline standpoint, and maybe that's something I wish I had thought about watching some old. Like last year tape of Cleveland against Lamar. But like look what Jaden did in Tampa against the blitz. Look what Jaden did against Cincinnati. Like he'll get out. And that's the thing. The thing that has been, and I think this actually ties all Tony's entire call together is like the magic of the Commanders so far this year is they avoid negative plays because Jaden just slips tackles and turns minus threes or minus sevens into plus, at least plus ones, if not plus 15s. So his ability to escape the pocket, make plays, now he's making plays with his arm down the field. It keeps them out of bad down and distance. It keeps them super efficient on offense. It lets them get first downs because they're always in good down and distance, and it keeps their offense on the field and their defense off of it. The inverse is true in Cleveland. The defense is legit. The problem is they're on the field all the time. And I know when we talked to Jonathan Peterlin yesterday, he pointed to some stuff, Jonathan Peterlin from our sister station, 92.3 The Fan in Cleveland, in case you missed it. But Peterlin was like, I don't know how much of it is that they're on the field. Like, I just don't think they're executing as well. I don't think, you know, Myles Garrett's playing less snaps because he's managing a bunch of injuries, including this Achilles thing. You know, Denzel Ward hasn't been as good. Their number two corner's been awful. You know, Owusu-Koramoah's like he's playing good, but like he's not playing great. So there's a bunch of dudes over there that just aren't playing as well. And I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't be playing as well either if I was on the field all the freaking time. And so there's just more chances to be bad, and you're tired, and you're banged up because you're taking on contact all the time because teams are trying to run out the clock on you and run the ball down your throat. So there's just a ton of stuff here that is cumulative. And so if Jaden can continue that and keep this Browns defense on the field, I think they're going to be just fine offensively. And if their defense is fresh, that helps them. That is the complementary football that we've all been hoping to see for years that we're now seeing here. And I think that they'll be able to do that. Again, it's a harder test than they've had. I thought Arizona was going to be a lot harder test. I was dead wrong on that. Hopefully I'm dead right on this one. Washington 24, Cleveland 21. That's what I have got. All right, when we get back, we'll wrap up the week and we will hit real things real people said in a real microphone, including Sauce Gardner learning something new as he got onto his first vehicle, a giant bus in England. Yep, that's real. WNBA playoffs tonight. Give you the schedule in just a moment, but first, Commanders injury updates. You got a couple of guys out this weekend. Luckily, though, it does not include Brian Robinson. Despite missing practice yesterday and on Wednesday, Robinson is going to be listed as questionable and tweeted a thumbs up, so he should be good to go. Austin Ekeler also good to go at the running back position. However, Cleveland Furl is out. And Noah Brown, the wide receiver, is out for Washington on Sunday. On the Cleveland side of things, Myles Garrett listed as questionable, but is going to go. But they got a couple other guys out. Nick Chubb will not make his return this week, despite returning to practice for Cleveland. WNBA playoffs tonight, as mentioned, just over 45 minutes from now. Lynx and Sun get going for Game 3. That series is tied at 2 in the best of 5, which means that the defending champions, down 2-0, are on the verge of elimination at home. Aces Liberty tonight at 9:30. That is what's trending. I'm Craig Hoffman on the Team 980. Final segment on a Friday here on the Hoffman Show. And, Matt, I screwed up. I forgot to tell you. This is normally where Anthony plays Rebecca Black Friday. And to anybody that was expecting the Rebecca Black, it's okay. The time has passed. Honestly, sometimes I could use a week off. Sometimes from that jam.
7 a.m. waking up in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's been a very musical show as is. We learned earlier in the show, if we did a best of today, honestly, one of my favorite parts is we learned that Matt can mimic the sound of a kazoo with his mouth.
Now I'm smiling.
He thought it was a trumpet. He thought it was a trumpet, and then I was like, no, that's a kazoo. Yeah.
Little kazoo.
Can you play Friday on the kazoo? Yeah.
Close
yeah.
enough.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I think I messed you up with the yeah. But the what's great about that is, you know, we always worry because we stream live on YouTube that we're going to get taken down for copyright violations, which is why most of the time when I'm in studio, like in the regular studio, like I am most days, that we just have a way to take the music out of the YouTube stream. But when I'm in my home studio, like I am today, we don't have that capability the way we have things set up. So we should have just done the rejoin music with Matt the Kazoo the entire time, because then we don't have to worry about it.
That would have been terrifying. You would, I mean, I would have loved to see the metrics on how that stream slash show ended up panning out for you.
Well, I mean, I think it would have been a hit. I think it's a missed opportunity.
I appreciate it.
Put that one in the back pocket for next time. Anthony will be back on Monday. We'll see how we did with the picks. Obviously, First and 10 will start the show coming up at 4 o'clock. 10 observations. We'll be there on Sunday, or I'll be there on Sunday, to take in Commanders and Browns at Northwest Stadium. Post-game show after with Logan live on location. So make sure you're locked in for all that and all the places that you get Take Command podcast, YouTube, and then we'll have the reaction on the radio on Monday. Any other housekeeping that we need to do? I think that's pretty much it. If you missed anything throughout the week, of course, you can check out the Hoffman Show podcast. I'll even say, hey, Matt, because Matt's, for those that don't know, maybe you're later listeners, Matt is the producer of the Chris Russell Show. What was your favorite thing from the Russell Show this week, besides Linnell accidentally giving out his phone number on the air?
Oh, that was gold. I would say...
What was your actual favorite thing? Non-silly thing.
Actual favorite thing, Luke McCaffrey. I feel
that's right. You guys had Luke.
Luke coming on and talking about what he's seeing with this team, the energy, how he's fitting into the entire team, and that was fantastic.
Excellent. So go check that out in the Chris Russell Show podcast feed, and then click over and check out whatever you missed from us. Schlereth earlier in the week was awesome. That's probably our best interview of the week. So another host at the radio station texted me earlier and was like, your interview with Schlereth was bomb. Who was it? You'll never know. All right. It's time for Real Things, where people send real microphones. Let's send the week out with a bang, shall we?
Real things.
We're not going to be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
All right, plenty of fun, silly stuff coming, but this is just damn impressive. Jaylen Brown's had quite the week. First of all, his episode of Hot Ones came out. So, Matt, I don't know if you're a Hot Ones guy.
Love Hot Ones.
So good. I'm actually behind a couple of episodes. There's like a couple that came out. I'm like, ooh, I want to watch that. And I just haven't been in the space where I've had time to watch them. But Jaylen Brown definitely is one I want to check out. But Jaylen Brown and the Celtics are opening the NBA's preseason in Abu Dhabi. And Jaylen Brown addressed the crowd ahead of the game in Arabic.
Assalamu alaikum, Abu Dhabi. Ana esmi Jaylen Brown from the Boston Celtics. Shukran listida fatikum lana. On behalf of the NBA and the NBAPA, Shukran Thani. Let's have a good game. Let's have a great game. Assalam.
He is so smart. Like, he went to Cal. We knew he was smart. That's I know. I don't know. He speaks fluent. Doesn't sound like he probably speaks fluent, but also that message is meant to be bilingual. But he clearly, at the very least, his memorization skills are A plus. If not just his linguistic abilities. I always am jealous of people that can speak multiple languages.
That's not a particularly easy language to get to.
No. And that's the other thing, is like certain languages, like if you were to learn to speak German as an English speaker, you could probably figure it out because a lot of the sounds are similar. There are certain languages that have sounds that are native to them that unless you basically learn them as a child, you can't. And Jalen did a great job. So bravo, Jalen Brown, on being able to address the crowd in their native language. Nothing will ever be better than the Mexico City game, I believe it was, when Luka spoke perfect Spanish and then handed the mic to Blake Griffin, and Blake was just like, hola, gracias, adios. It's not fair. Not fair. All right. Let's see what else we got. London this weekend, they speak English there. You said, hello. That's their native language. But there are some differences between England and the U.S. As Sauce Gardner found out, they drive on the other side of the road there, something that he did not know.
Man, it's been a little, I didn't know the mic was actually working. It's been a little weird a little bit. We got on the bus earlier today. I see like they drive on different sides of the road here. I thought we was about to get in an accident as soon as we got on the bus. So that threw me off a little bit, but you know, everybody here is super nice. You know, we're
That's really funny. I don't know how you grow up and don't know that, but I guess, you know, if you're just not really that concerned with what's going on in other places, because you're concerned with your own deal, I guess it could happen. But I feel like if you know like five things about England, it's like, yeah, they used to be in charge here. They drive on the other side of the road and they like tea.
Big clock.
Yeah. What's a fifth? I don't know. You don't even need just the British four.
Their bridges don't have structural integrity.
They've rebuilt a bunch of them because they got bombed to smithereens in World War II, but that's a different story.
Well, London Bridge has fallen down.
I'd heard of that. There's a rumor. I see what you did there. I was perhaps a little slow on that one. We're almost at the end, Matt.
So
at the end yesterday, we played for you a TikTok trend that is basically you're singing on the scale. As you sing, your phone allegedly hears your pitch, and you're trying to get perfect pitch and aim a ball going through a wall. So you're on like a track. And yesterday we played Jalen Suggs of the Orlando Magic doing it and failing absolutely miserably. Today, same concept, professional singer T-Pain, everybody.
I haven't been practicing on this thing at all. Hold on. Do, do, re, 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 oh. Re, me.
Oh my God. Maddie, can you pause it for a second?
No, re, me.
It was at this point I realized that while Jalen Suggs was not a good singer, this thing sucks. This is not accurate at all.
No.
Because I do believe that T-Pain hit perfect pitch on Do Re. Like he went up the right amount, and that Re that got him that solved the problem, that was way higher than a step up.
Oh no, there's something real wrong with this app. T-Pain is known to have perfect pitch, so if he's having issues,
no auto-tune needed. Auto-tune's for fun and entertainment. He can actually sing.
It's an instrument for him.
Continue, please. Like he's already an octave up.
Go like that.
It went. Zone. There it is. Woo!
Now he's got to go way up.
La.
La.
Gotta hit it.
Do.
Bango. Yeah, that thing is not measuring correct pitch. The funniest one I saw of this, Matt, I've now gotten a couple of these. There was a guy that was like, nah, this ain't right. And he just goes, la, and like way up. And the ball, because it's like a ball that's trying to go through a hole in a wall. And the ball just goes up over the wall, and he wins the game. He gamed the system. All you got to do is get punched in the nuts.
Don't know if it's worth it.
Nope, probably not. That's our show. Hope you enjoyed it. If not, the good news for you is it's over. And we'll be back on Monday, and you can deal with us then. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great weekend.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.